Look, up in the air. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's We Got the Geek.
All right, this is Jay Stu and K Stu off on another one of our comic book store adventures. And this week we're at Sketchbook Comics with Jeff and Joel.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi. How's it going?
I appreciate it. First of all, you guys have been here since last year, late last year?
Yeah, September of 2012.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel like I should turn in my geek cred card because you guys were here 3 months before I knew you existed.
Aww.
And it was my mother, of all people, that told me, you should go check at this comic book store.
Nice.
So, and then we get here, and lo and behold, Jeff has worked with Kath in the past.
This is true.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Won't say where.
Wait, no.
No, I got to say, hey, you used to work there. No, I still work there.
Oh, boy. So, first thing I want to ask you guys is, what got you into comics? Do you remember the first thing you ever read?
I'll go first. I specifically remember being about 5 or 6, chickenpox, and a stack of comics coming home, a donation from an aunt and uncle. They were old, like Richie Rich, Little Abner?
There is Little Abner, but he was more of a comic strip than comic.
And then the
books.
One with the Little Red Devil, whose name I can't think of.
Hot Stuff.
Hot Stuff.
There had to be something superhero in there, too.
And Wendy the Witch.
I don't remember what, but it was definitely... There was definitely more Richie Rich than anything else.
Nice.
Oh, man.
And then probably when I was 8 was the first time I really seriously got into comic books. Another uncle handed me what at the time would have been a complete run of Alpha Flight.
Oh, wow.
Bagged and boarded. I think that would have been up to like maybe issue 28. And then so it was the first time I ever had like a real comprehensive long story run. And then I just went from there.
And properly bagged and boarded books.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't stay bagged and boarded for long.
That's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That might have helped me out when I was a little kid reading comics.
Not ripping the covers off and posting
them
to the wall?
Yeah.
Hey, we all did that. For me, I was probably 5 or 6, and I remember for Christmas I got, it was a big hardcover, and it wasn't even put out by DC. It was put out by another company, and it covered everything from first appearance right up until about the 70s. It was all Batman. And it was like Batman 30s to the 70s or something like that. They were put out in the 70s. I still have it to this day. Wow, is it well read.
Nice.
But and I remember my parents getting me a hardcover version of the Spider-Man 1979 annual when I was a kid, too. I would have been 7-ish at that point. But, yeah. And then, I mean, I don't really remember not having comics in my life after that.
Yeah, after that point, for me... Whenever we visited my grandparents, my grandfather, when he'd go into, because they sort of like lived in the country, go into town to get like his newspaper, I'd tag along and there'd be a box at the newspaper place on the floor that had like a stack of comics, and you know, I'd get one every one or two every, you know, 3 or 4 days kind of thing. So I always had them incoming.
Spinner racks for me.
Oh, remember those?
Spinner racks at the corner store.
Oh, wow. Do you guys read everything that comes in here, by the way? Because, Jeff, you always seem to know what's going on in all the books.
No. I read a lot of it. A lot of it. Some of it I flip through and get the idea of what's going on with it. But, yeah, a lot of it, but not all of it. I'm not a huge fan of the horror books, per se. I flip through them so I know what's going on because we have quite a few people that do like them.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Marvel's brought me back a lot the last few months because I had abandoned them for probably close to 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I make the attempt to read as many as possible. I send Jeff a list on Wednesday when he's here and the books are ready to go out, and I say, put these aside, I got to read these, and then I try and read as many of them as possible.
Sometimes I put them back.
Sometimes you just put them on the shelf and sell them, and I never see them. But I like reading all the indie books more than anything else, so I try and get through those first. And then I also abandoned Marvel for 10 years as well, at least.
Yeah, they've kind of drawn me back lately as well.
Yeah. Some of the Marvel Now stuff has really kind of pulled me back in. The all-new X-Men, Uncanny X-Men stuff has been just fantastic.
Same here. The Uncanny? Is that the Cyclops team?
Yeah, that's
Uncanny
the
X-Men has been really good.
Captain America, on the other hand, which I love, it's not been great. It just hasn't been. I want it to be. It's not. But yeah, I'm a DC kid. I mean, I was raised on Batman, and So it wasn't difficult for Marvel to lose me, I guess, but putting out really bad product helped.
Well, what sort of stuff are you guys into now?
For me, I mean, my favorite character, my favorite book is Nightwing. Has been since I was a kid. I mean, Robin was my favorite character growing up. Batman TV show probably helped with that. But, yeah, the Batman stuff is huge for me. The Scott Snyder stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Detective Comics, since about issue 13 when John Layman came on, has been really, really good. But, yeah, Nightwing has been is my main character. The Batman and Robin stuff was phenomenal with Damian. And
yeah.
Even now with his death, I mean, the follow-up to it all has been really well done with the way Bruce has reacted to it and that type of thing. So that's my big stuff is the Batman stuff. That's my must-read. That and the all-new X-Men.
Oh, that's
Uncanny
good
X-Men.
Yeah.
Joel?
My must-read is Savage Dragon.
Okay.
It's the only book that I have never missed an issue for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's it. Everything else could disappear, you know, for a week, the week it came out, and I wouldn't mind. I'd be okay with that. But otherwise, the Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Green Lantern stuff.
Really, Jeff Johns has kept me interested ever since he did the relaunch.
Since, unfortunately, his last issue this month.
That's yep. Okay. He's put enough stuff in there that it'll keep people coming back. And then the new Justice League of America has been really, really good. And then from Marvel, the Uncanny X-Men has brought me back into the interest of reading the X-Books. Yeah. And then the new Hulk. I abandoned Hulk.
The new Hulk is really good,
time
yeah.
ago. And when I was a kid, Hulk was probably my favorite character.
Yeah.
And then there's been so long where I just haven't touched any of those books, and then this has been great.
Funny enough, you got me back into the Hulk, Jeff, because I signed up to have a pull list here. And he said, have you read the Indestructible Hulk yet? No, not yet. Well, here, take issue one. And like crack, I've now gone and bought all the rest of the issues.
It's good the way they've done Banner and given him some actual personality as opposed to just a character that was there as a kind of a waiting point until the Hulk showed up.
Yeah.
You know, they've done a good job on it. The latest issue of A plus X kind of feeds into that, too. Yeah, big time.
Cool. So what made you guys decide to open up this fine establishment?
Before I answer that, the other thing I will say, too.
Okay.
I just want to go on record as saying this. Aquaman is a fantastic book.
Love Aquaman. She's going to shake her head.
We get a constant stream of people who make fun of Aquaman coming through that door, and I correct every one of them. Fantastic book.
Aquaman's kind of a badass now.
Yeah, in the issues, they've even addressed all the jokes we used to make.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's great.
It's fantastic. I love it. Getting back to the question about the comic shop so that Case 2 doesn't lose her mind.
I just know I'm in charge of editing. We'll see how much of this actually makes
Fair enough.
No Aquaman.
The comic shop.
We opened it because of Aquaman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of Aquaman. We're going to keep him in the stream as much as possible.
Best answer ever.
We've been talking about doing this for a long, long time. Joel and I met when I worked for another comic shop called Gametronics that was around in the mid-90s. It did video games and comic books, and it was at the Penn Center. And then, strangely enough, it was across the street from our current location.
Which is where I...
Funny enough, I remember that store, and I knew you from somewhere. Because I used to work at the Penn Center at the
time.
There
you go, yeah. And Joel came in as a customer first, then ended up getting hired, and then when the store closed down, we remained in touch.
By remained in touch, we've worked at the same place, two different jobs.
So, oh, wow, yeah, cool. Like,
we've been following each other around.
Yeah. So. We close things down a lot of the time.
Quite often.
Nice.
Good work.
Yeah, that's what happens to some stores. But, we remain friends, and it was something we'd always talked about doing, and it just took some time and money and opportunity, and that came up, and so we kind of took it when we had the chance.
I have nothing to add to that.
That's cool. It just seems like the dream job to me.
So. It absolutely is.
I remember when we met, my mom's like, why don't you guys open a comic shop? Because, you know, you can just do that. Like, really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, we got a lot of that. You should just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it.
I don't know if our wives would agree, but just do it is how it happens.
Yeah, it doesn't. It really, really doesn't. There was a lot of roadblocks and stuff in the way that we had to get through. Plenty of obstacles, but some very, very good fortune when it came to contacting realtors for locations, as we were looking to go into the Falls first, and found out that a certain chain was opening in the spot we were looking at, and helped to redirect us to another city.
Yeah.
Which was perfect, because this is,
it's worked quite out honestly, maybe one extraordinarily well for us.
Best spots you could open a coffee shop, apparently.
That's a great story. We love it.
Yep.
Everybody should.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. So what are some of your best sellers these days?
Top seller, hands down, is Batman, the Scott Snyder book. Closing in on that, Deadpool is up there. Since Tony Moore left, it's dropped off a bit in popularity since he stopped doing the art.
Which is too bad, because the guy I have on, is it Mike Hawthorne? Is he on it yet?
Yeah, he's the artist on it now, is Mike Hawthorne.
Mike Hawthorne is a way better artist than Tony Moore.
Oh, okay.
He's great at adapting. Like, right now, he's drawing in a 70s style for the story that they're doing, and it works for the book. Mm-hmm. But, Batman, Deadpool, all new X-Men is up there.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek comic book needs.
Anything you're surprised by at how well it sells?
Constantine was definitely a bit of a surprise for us. Like, it comes over from Vertigo, which Hellblazer was not a huge selling book by any means. And his book has done really well for us.
I think it's the fact that sometimes when you restart a book, a lot of people don't like the restart. They think it's just like a selling tactic and stuff like that. And this may have been the case for DC. Right. You know, the character's name was Constantine, so the title of the old book being Hellblazer did nothing for like a new reader.
Yeah.
And it was 250 issues, right? So to anybody that's a new reader, by starting it at number one, calling the book Constantine, and he's Constantine, it was a really easy jumping on point if you were ever interested in that character, and I think that's why it took off. Okay. And it was good. Like, the book was good.
It also surprises me how much newer readers feel like they have to read every issue of a book. I mean, obviously, with the new 52, it's fixed that for DC for all of those readers. But it shocks me how many don't realize, just pick up a book and start reading, and you can figure things out. I mean, that's how I started reading comics. That's probably how all of us start reading comics. It's just a random issue here and there. You know, when I was buying them off the spinner rack, there was no way to get back issues.
No.
You just picked up on what was going on through the story and figured it out from there.
Yeah.
See, I was one of those people, because I was always interested in comics, but I'm like, this is like issue 485. I don't understand. So I was intimidated. Like, then when we started dating, I just picked one up in the apartment and started reading.
Yeah.
But just go into a shop and buy one and start
absolutely
reading? That was insane.
You don't need to read everything. Just read one, find out what you like, and then, if you want, go back and get it. If you don't, then you didn't just buy 400 issues.
Yeah.
Especially with the way things are now. Like, you can pick up a random issue, and if you really feel that you need the two that came before, there's a good chance you can find them. Or you can find the trade paperback that came before, and, you know what I mean, you just get caught up right away. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially now. I mean, DC with the new 52, everything gets reprinted. It's
even the stuff that didn't sell well.
Yeah. There's a Hawk and Dove print out there.
Saw that.
And I don't know if it's just, like, I'm more aware of it in the last 12 years, or if it's actually exploded in the universe as well, but now we've got, like, more comic book stores out there. We've got eBay and stuff like that, and comic cons, small cons, big cons, whatever, where you can go and just pour through back issues and try to find your books.
Absolutely.
So maybe it's just my little universe that has expanded into that.
Probably a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the cons have been there for longer than that. I mean, I remember doing Chicago's Wizard World in 99, and it was a big deal. It was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like next to San Diego, it was the big con. But, I mean, it's definitely exploded here, you know. You've got Fan Expo that is insane now. Niagara Falls Comic Con being in its third year.
Yeah.
Third year. Yeah, it, I mean, I like seeing the new cons pop up. I think it's a great idea, especially since Fan Expo is insane.
Yes.
It's just so busy, it's almost uncomfortable.
Yeah, insane. That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the fact that they're both buildings this year.
Yeah, yeah. Wah. And adding sports cards.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll be fun. Richard D. Anderson.
Yeah, he's one of the ones they've already announced, isn't he?
Yeah. And Dean Cain.
Sweet.
Oh, old Superman.
Yeah. How is Sketchbook taking place in the Niagara Falls Comic Con, actually?
We've got two things going on. We'll have a table on the con floor as a vendor and taking part that way. The big thing that we're doing is this is the first Sketchbook Players Series Magic Tournament. And so we're running that at the Niagara Falls Comic Con. I'll let Joel talk a little bit more about it. He knows more about the magic than I do.
It is a standard magic tournament on the Saturday only. It's a qualifier for anybody who's looking to go to Miami and compete in the Pro Tour there. The winner will get, I think it's a 2-round bye, maybe a 3-round bye. I'd have to double check. I'm not sure. And then we've got cash prizes on the line. First place gets $500. Down through 8th.
Yeah, plus. Our tournament's a 1K. So.
Yeah, it's just over $1,000 in prizes.
Wow.
Plus whatever door prizes we...
And we'll be running side events and stuff like that for people that decide to drop out of the tournament, that type of thing. Because that happens all the time.
That's
you
cool.
Lose a couple rounds, no point in your mind to keep going. So I'll play something else.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it was nice. They came to us and asked us if we'd like to sponsor the Magic event and do that. So that's a big part of the store. So
yeah,
we were glad to do it.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah, can't wait. And how are you guys doing anything special for Free Comic Book Day in here?
We're doing, obviously, the free comic books. We'll be doing sales and stuff like that as well. On top of that, we have Southern Ontario Zombie Squad.
I believe that's correct.
I believe that's what they're called.
Okay.
They'll be here, and they will show people how to prepare. For the
imminent zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. As they put it, prepare and be ready for the imminent zombie apocalypse that is coming.
That's kind of awesome.
I've already had him here once, and he brought in his first aid kit, which is a backpack much larger than I've ever carried in my life. And it was actually rather impressive, and it's not finished.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so they'll be here, and I don't know what else we're doing. We're kind of, it's the first one we've ever done, so we're kind of figuring it out as we go. And everyone I've ever gone to before, and I'm not going to mention where that was, really didn't do anything except put a table of free comics out and then you can shop. But so we're figuring that out as we go.
Cool.
I just got to ask you guys this. There's a lot of comic book movies coming out this summer. Any you guys are interested in?
Man of Steel.
Yeah, cool. And by the time this airs, I guess Iron Man 3 is 2 days away?
Yes.
Does it come out Wednesday?
No, today is Wednesday. We're recording on Wednesday.
Oh, all right. All right, so 2 days away. Yes, Iron Man comes out in 2 days.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that one, as is my wife. Every year since we've been together, I think.
Man of Steel.
A superhero movie out for her birthday, so
that's
always been good. But other than that, the one I'm really looking forward to, which is maybe under the radar for a lot of people, is it Ripped?
R.I.P.D.
Yeah. That's the one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, it looks good, actually.
Yeah, it does look good.
It looks a little wacky, funny, and the stuff's going to blow up.
Have you read the books?
Nope.
Okay. I haven't either, so I was just wondering if...
Yeah, we've got one customer who reads them, and he enjoys them a lot, but I have never had the opportunity to read it. But yeah, I saw the trailer and I like that looks of that one.
It looks really good.
I've got some pretty high hopes for Man of Steel.
See?
It's a fantastic trailer. Have you seen the new trailer?
Yep.
It looks great.
Things are going to blow up in that one too, so it doesn't even matter if for some reason it was bad.
And it looks like he actually throws a punch in this one.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
He's got Kryptonians to fight against.
Stuff's going to fight.
I'm psyched about this.
Stuff's going to explode.
No more just lifting big rocks.
Yeah, that's no fun.
I'm psyched there's no Luther in this one.
I'm extremely happy there's no Luther in this one. That was actually my biggest disappointment about the new Thor trailer is that Loki's in it.
Yeah.
I just... One of the problems I have with Hollywood movies for comic books is they always go back to the same villains over and over, as we've seen with Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Loki was in Thor and Avengers. And
Iron Man. He always fights a dude in armor.
Yeah.
So this time he's not fighting a dude in armor.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
So that's awesome. I want him to fight a dragon. Like, or some wizards. You know what I mean? Like,
it would be pretty cool if Fin Fang Foom showed up.
Exactly. He's fought Fin Fang Foom before. Let's just do this right.
Let's be clear. I'm not holding my breath on that.
Nope.
It would be pretty awesome.
Neither am I. I'm sure he's just going to end up fighting a guy in armor now that he's said there's no guys in armor, but...
There are a lot of his suits of armors, though.
Yes.
Yes.
The CGI artists are quick at work, like,
that's right.
Drawing like, armor on the Mandarin. Yeah.
Who apparently is not in the version released in China.
Really?
Completely different film.
Yeah.
Just not in it.
Hmm.
Yeah, they had to...
Gonna need to watch it.
I know, yeah. So now, like, all of us need to see.
Yeah, I do kind of want to see the Chinese version.
Hopefully, it'll be, like, on the DVD. Just like, and by the way, here's the Chinese version, the part where we left out the plot. Just stuff blowing up.
I would like the dragon version.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You see? They should just hire me now.
Nice. And I gotta ask Jeff this, because we have people on the show that are actually fans of this comic. You're the first person to discuss Superior Spider-Man with me.
Yep.
Has your opinion changed at all on it?
Not particularly.
Okay.
I think it's a weak story. My biggest problem is, and I'm very vocal about this, is the fact that Marvel tried to convince us that this is a permanent change.
Right.
I mean, if they had just passed it off as, here's our next storyline, okay. You know, that's fine. The fact they're trying to convince us that Dr. Octopus is going to be the Spider-Man for the rest of our lives is ridiculous. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is coming. At some point, their marketing department's going to be like, yeah, we need this changed. And yet they're still trying to convince us it's permanent. There's some stuff about it I think is kind of neat. But I also struggle with books where your main character's... I'm trying to think of a polite word for it. But a bit of an ass.
Yeah.
You know, when you can't really... You know, feel for them, get pulled into the character. Quite frankly, I don't read Superior Spider-Man hoping that I'll see any of me in the character. You know, it's tough for me to read a book like that. But, yeah, absolutely. It's a huge seller. I am 100% in the minority on this. But, yeah, my opinion of it is not good. I don't think Joel's is either, to be honest.
No, I don't like it at all. I think the only thing they could do at this point is either... They either have Peter take over and everything goes back to normal, or he plays the game of repairing his name, which I think is what they're probably leading up to. That or they kill him.
Right.
And that Spider-Man's dead.
Yeah, I can see the whole aftermath being interesting with Peter having to repair his name, but I just can't help thinking that there are so many powerful psychics in the Marvel Universe. How has nobody noticed?
Yeah.
You know... I mean, I remember in Avenging Spider-Man, he ran into the X-Men, and they did something so that... I don't remember if it was Jean Grey from the past or Phoenix, you know, Rachel Summers, that they did something so that she didn't know. But I don't remember what it was off the top of my head, but I just remember thinking, this is lame.
Do you have any other questions?
No.
All right, well, we want to thank you guys for sitting down with us. And you guys have always been nice to us, putting our cards out and whatnot.
So do what I can.
That. And that's it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.